morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University and the studios of Audiovisual Services in the Learning Resources Center on the MTSU campus. There are a number of events and collaborative efforts at MTSU to help promote math and science and related disciplines, especially with regard to female students, because something happens along the way in junior high school where a lot of girls who show an aptitude for these sorts of disciplines sometimes lose interest. And it is important, people in the disciplines feel, to nurture young women, because with technology being as important as it is today in all kinds of business, no talent should be left behind, certainly not on the basis of gender. And some of the efforts on this campus include WISE, which is Women in Science Education, the student organization. Whoa.
Let's fix that. That's Women in Science and Engineering.
Women in Science and Engineering, I beg your pardon. And then there's also GRITS, Girls Raised in Tennessee Science. I got that one right. And EYH, which is Expanding Your Horizons. And all of these are coming together under one umbrella. It's called WISTEM, Women in Science, Technology, Engineering, and Mathematics, a center that has been approved by the Tennessee Board of Regents. And we're talking about it today with Dr. Judith Iriarty-Gross, who is a professor of chemistry, and Casey DeShields, who is assistant director of GRITS. Welcome.
Thank you, Janet.
Judith, why was it important to you to bring all of these efforts together under one roof?
To make things easier for people to get in contact with us about these programs that we've been putting on for so long for girls and women in STEM fields, STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, as you pointed out. We saw the need for developing this center because of the need in our state for improving science education, or STEM education, let's not just leave it as science, and for grooming or developing or training our future workforce. If we do not have women as part of the STEM workforce, where is Tennessee, where is the United States going to be in the future?
It takes a certain amount of nurturing too, does it not? Because I would imagine that some of these girls who have been perhaps looked askance at or ignored by some teachers along the way might need to be reassured that they have got what it takes, and they need to be assertive and move ahead and study hard and do everything that they can. You've got some really enthusiastic students that have worked with you on expanding your horizons in the years that you have had that event here, which brings junior high school, middle school students, girls, to the campus to give them a taste of how much fun science can be. Talk a little bit about that, about how you make it a comfortable atmosphere in which to learn, an atmosphere in which they can feel comfortable about it.
Well, we know Expanding Your Horizons works. EYH, as we call it, has been going on since 1976, and I brought it to MTSU campus when I joined the faculty here in 1996. So we're planning our 13th Expanding Your Horizons for fall of 2009. And now we have not just Expanding Your Horizons for middle school girls. Through our GRITS program, we have an Expanding Your Horizons for high school girls, and Casey can tell you about that in a minute. But research has shown that girls are dropping out of math and science in middle school, as you mentioned in the introduction today, Jenna. And research has also shown that strong mentoring, that a girls-only environment, and that giving the girls the opportunity to do some hands-on activities will show them that, yes, they can have successful careers in the STEM fields. And our Expanding Your Horizons conference has been successful. In fact, we have one young lady now who's a math major. I think she's in her second year here at MTSU. And she came to EYH as a fifth grader, which is awesome. I'm seeing women now on MTSU campus who have come to EYH, and one is now in our Teachers Now program, and she wants to be a science teacher because she knows the importance of science, and she's totally awesome in science because she was in one of my classes, in fact, and she earned an A. She was really good. And
it's a recruiting tool as well.
Exactly.
These young women might want to pick MTSU as their university of choice after they have been exposed to the science through your efforts.
Exactly right. I know of some women who are now pre-pharmacy majors, and they came to EYH as middle school girls. And I've heard of women who have come to our EYH, but now they're in engineering at UT Knoxville or at Tennessee Tech. So we're showing the girls by using small groups. We have maybe 20 girls max in a group at EYH, by presenting female role models in the field where they can discuss their careers with these girls and answer questions. And who knows what kind of questions we get. We've gotten some really wild questions in the past. Yeah. I've been asked how much money I make, and I tell them not enough. I tell them not enough.
That's not a wild question these days.
Exactly right. And you know, when they ask me about my name, because I usually do a workshop called Ooze, Goo, and Slime, I don't do that anymore because I'm director of this whole event.
You mean it's not dignified for you to do ooze, goo,
and slime
anymore?
I don't have the time. I don't have the time, but I have some wonderful wise women who stepped forward and said, I want to do this for you. And I have been asked, with my name Iriarte Gross, they want to know if my name's really gross because of this gooey slime, which is gross looking. And I say, yes, I married Mr. Gross, and then it starts a conversation. Yes, women can have a family and still be a successful scientist.
It's not because you fell into that fountain at the Nickelodeon Studios
exactly.
In Orlando.
Exactly. And in fact, we just started a collaboration with some women engineers at Schneider Electronics in Smyrna. And they're excited about planning an engineering workshop for us for this upcoming EYH in October. And they're thinking about having the girls design a bridge that will hold their body weight.
Wow.
Across a little kiddie pool.
Yeah.
And they have to crawl across on this bridge they designed. And they said, well, we can fill this pool up with chocolate pudding.
Yes. So even if you fail on your first attempt, it's not going to be such a bad punishment.
No, not at all. Not with chocolate pudding.
Right into the chocolate.
Exactly. But and at these workshops, girls learn that failing is okay. Mm-hmm. And scientists fail all the time. But we go back and figure out what we did, what we can do, and make some new choices. And that's what we want to give to these girls.
And even if you succeed in science and your experimentation is accepted as the rubric or as the template, that doesn't mean that it won't be refuted, improved upon, remodeled 20, 50, 100 years later by another scientist.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
How it advances.
That's our message. That's one of our messages that we want to give to these young women, that I admit, you know, because I was a perfectionist, is that you don't have to be a perfectionist. You do the best you can and move forward with your science.
Tracy, what does it feel like to mentor young girls the way that you've been mentored and the way you like being mentored in developing scientific and math talent?
It's definitely a good feeling when, because we have a middle school program where we go to the middle school once a month and we do experiments with the girls. And the girls that attend this after school club are usually the same girls. So we get to see them month after month. Mm-hmm. And they are really excited to see us. They, you know, love having conversations with us. And I think it's more that they're getting to talk with college women than anything, you know, learning what it's really like to be, you know, grown up, so to speak, in the college life and being a woman. And just to see the excitement on these girls' faces when we walk in makes it enough to want to go back. But I definitely see that, you know, with the college women going into the classes and helping these girls, it has more of an effect on them because they listen to us more. They, you know, when we say that this really is fun and we're showing them that it's fun, they really understand it. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of women who, because I am a biology major and I want to go into zookeeping or veterinary medicine, and I've had so many girls say, oh, that's exactly what I want to do too. You know, tell me about your life. Tell me why you want to do this. And it just, it feels really awesome that I can have mentors who help me along my college career, and then I can go to these middle school girls and tell them exactly what they need to do to get into college and to be what they want to be, because that's what I'm currently doing.
Does the fact that you're a little bit closer in age to them make a difference in terms of the communication?
Absolutely. When teachers come into the classroom, the girls just are kind of quiet and they listen, but they, you know, don't really bring up a discussion. But when it comes to the college women that come in, because we have, you know, freshman women, we have senior women that come in to the classroom and do the workshops with the girls, they are excited and they, you know, want to ask us questions. One of the workshops that we did, one of the questions was about me. I was getting married and they wanted to know more about, you know, my wedding and how old I was and, you know, what my husband was like than about the workshop they were we were doing. And you don't hear them ask questions, those type of questions, to their teachers, because we are younger and we have these experiences that we're going through and that they are wanting to go through and that they soon will, and they want to know about it.
How do men, Judith, in the faculty and elsewhere in the sciences, feel about the fact that girls, women are sort of being singled out here for a certain amount of focus in terms of nurturing their talent? Are they supportive? Are they resentful? Do they have mixed emotions?
I've had 100% support from the male faculty and the guys here on MTSU campus. In fact, some of our engineering technology faculty come over and give workshops because there's so few women in engineering. In fact, for example, Dr. Sid comes and does his egg drop workshop every year, and the girls look forward to coming and talking with him about careers in engineering. Mm-hmm. So we also have been giving presentations where there's male students in the classroom. We specifically encourage the girls to participate, to stand forward and talk. We'll ask them questions. But yeah, we like guys too. We like guys too. And going back to what Casey, I wanted to mention one thing, because we always ask the girls to fill out, you know, some evaluations. What did you like? What did you learn? Mm-hmm. And one comment that I kept seeing from one of Casey's students at the after school science club for girls only, and this is at Central Middle School here in Murfreesboro. One girl, and correct me if it's wrong, kept saying that she wants to be a neuroscientist and a Victoria's Secret model.
Victoria's Secret supermodel.
Yeah. So she can be both.
So science is sexy.
Exactly right. She can be both.
Yes. What is it about the state of Tennessee? We have the Oak Ridge Nuclear Laboratory here. We have one school of dentistry that I know of. We have teaching hospitals that are associated with universities. Why isn't more being done to nurture this scientific talent? Is it because North Carolina has Research Triangle just across the border and they're getting all the talent, or is it competition, or is it a lack of awareness?
I think it's a lack of awareness, and that's what our Wisdom Center wants to do, is to provide a central place where parents, teachers, students, Tennesseans can come and find out information about opportunities for girls and women in STEM. It was in 2006 that the Tennessee Economic Council on Women presented a report to Governor Bredesen saying that there is a need for more education and training for girls and women who want to be financially independent. If we look at STEM jobs, they pay more than non-STEM jobs. So what's a better way for a woman to elevate her family's economic status than by being a scientist?
When you talk to the girls, Casey, what are the hot areas right now that they really want to get into? Are there certain areas that are more desirable than others? Is digital electronics more interesting? Is chemistry more interesting? Is biology more interesting? What do they prefer?
Most of them, a lot of them I've seen, they want to be doctors of some sort. Mm-hmm. I assume because they you know, think that they make the most money and that's where they're going to be the most successful.
And that's medical doctors. I want to clarify that. It's not PhD
that's
scientists.
That's medical doctors. And something that I've realized going into being a college student and having friends that, you know, started out pre-med and wanted to be doctors and then took a chemistry course or took a biology course and decided they wanted to veer that way. I don't think these girls understand, you know, what all is involved in being a doctor. There are several disciplines that you have to learn to be a doctor, and you may like one of those disciplines more and decide to go that path. I know Dr. Gross, she was pre-med, and then once she got into chemistry and realized she loved chemistry so much, that's what she eventually got her PhD in.
And you shouldn't feel bad or guilty about the fact that your priorities change or your interests change mid-course. You have to follow the direction that you feel is best for you. If it's not the one you started out with, that's okay. There's no shame in that.
Absolutely, and I think that's one thing that we have to press on these girls, because I know myself, when I was in high school, and we talked about college with our counselors and our parents, it was always, you know, 4 years. You've got to figure out what you want to be, get in there and get out in 4 years. And that's not the way it is. You're going to change your major. I myself have changed my major 4 times before I realized exactly what it was that I wanted to go into that I really enjoyed. And that's something I didn't understand when I was a freshman in college. I thought that, you know, I had to pick it now and that's what I had to stick with. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for me to change. And I don't want it to be hard for these girls to have to be able to go through different subjects and say, you know, I don't really like this one so much as I thought I would. I want to do this instead. Mm-hmm. And so most of those girls who say that they want to be medical doctors, once they get into college, may get into something else that they love much more and realize that that's not what they want to be. But that is what most of them have and plan for their future. And that's great. If they go through it, that's wonderful. But they may realize that they love some other science a lot more.
Judith, does having the WISDOM Center and having all of these endeavors under one roof necessarily make it easier for you to obtain the grant money, the funding that helps to keep these things going, or not necessarily? You're an old hand at grant writing. I think you know more about grant proposals probably than anybody, or how to write them to get the money and so forth.
I've learned. I think having the center will be a definite plus for us, because it won't be breaking up the grant funding in little bits of pots here and there. Mm-hmm. And having the center will allow us to choose where our own money goes instead of having individual grants. So I think that's one reason why we wanted to have the center. Another reason, again, was to simply provide information to everybody saying that this is what's going on for women in STEM. We've got these programs. We've got the GRITS Collaborative. We're part of the National Girls Collaborative Project. And that's a program, and Casey helped me because she knows more about it than I do. And that's a program where we bring together resources for girls in STEM. It's not a program that supplies directly girls in STEM, but helps the parent-teacher groups, the after-school science clubs, the science museums, the Girl Scouts, Girls Inc., all of these groups that support girls in STEM, it brings them together, shows, we have a program directory. Why don't you tell about the program directory? She's better. Okay.
The program directory is, it's on the National Girls Collaborative Project website, and it is an area where girl-serving organizations or companies that have programs for girls can put their program into the directory, and they list resources that they have as well as resources that they need. And it's the easiest way for other organizations who are needing resources to be able to go to one place and see who's offering that and have form a collaboration in order to help serve girls in STEM. And it's a really great opportunity for, say, if you wanted to start an after-school club such as the one we have here, but you don't have a school that you want to go to, or maybe you do have the school, but you don't have, you know, the volunteers or the resources, you go to the program directory and find our WISE group who has the volunteers, mm-hmm. and they want to go out into the schools and collaborate and form this program so that you can jumpstart those girls getting interested in the STEM.
Sort of a jump start also, I would think, on the benefits of social networking. Start building mm-hmm. your
Absolutely.
Network now, because you learn how to make these connections, and then later on it will become beneficial to you when you look for those all-important jobs post-graduation.
Exactly right. And another benefit that we have through our GRITS Collaborative, again, we're the Tennessee branch of the National Girls Collaborative Project, is that we have many grants to award, and I'm going to let Casey tell you about that too.
Okay.
We've got money to give away.
Yes. Always a high point.
From a grant that we have, yes.
The Grits mini grants, the Grits collaborative mini grants is offered to kind of allow people the chance to go to the program directory and network with the programs that are there in order to create a new program, something that hasn't been done before, and collaborate their resources together to have this program started. And that's what the mini grant is for. It's sort of seed money to seed other programs. And so you have to be signed into the program directory to be eligible for the mini grants, and you have to collaborate with someone else in the program directory. So that sort of forces you to look for the resources that are there if you want to apply for this mini grant money, and then have your idea implemented and funded, and it'll be a new program for girls instead of reinventing the wheel and having programs out there that, you know, are already there. You can create something else that will work and be exciting and new.
Would, at the risk of, you know, we could get lost in the alphabet soup with WISE and GRITS and AYH. Explain the difference between the missions of WISE and GRITS so that people won't think that those two organizations are duplicative of one another.
GRITS is Girls Raised in Tennessee Science, and it is a program that we started, and it's funded by the National Science Foundation. And this is a dissemination program to provide information to the girls, to their parents, teachers, to anybody in Tennessee who wants to know about programs, resources, opportunities for girls raised in Tennessee science. So that's simply a dissemination program. We go talk to different groups like American Association of University Women groups, teachers. We've talked to a group at the UT Martin Library. Mm-hmm. And where else?
Eastman Chemical Company.
Eastman Chemical. We've also helped, one of our goals of GRITS was to help expand your horizons throughout Tennessee. So now Memphis, women in the engineering college at the University of Memphis are now planning their second EYH for Girls in Memphis. And that's going to be in September, and our EYH is in October. And I'm going to be a speaker for adults at the Memphis EYH, and Casey's going to be doing something too, but we haven't figured that out yet.
Okay.
And WISE is a student organization here on campus, and since Casey is immediate past president of WISE, I'll let her tell you about WISE.
Well, first I would like to go back to GRITS. The main objective for GRITS is for the middle and high school girls, and target those girls and get them interested in the STEM subjects and get them the information and the tools they need to be successful in college. Whereas WISE, Women in Science and Engineering, is a supportive effort to support the women who are already in college, who are STEM majors, and it gives them an opportunity to get together, network, and collaborate, and make friendships, and have a supportive group with
student organization.
Yeah, it is a student organization here on campus, but it gives them the women STEM majors here on campus, MTSU, the opportunity to have a supportive group with other women STEM majors, as well as through the events that we plan throughout the year. It gives them the opportunity to network with professionals in those fields, as well as, you know, graduate schools, and, you know, they have the opportunity to make friends and have like study groups. If they all have the same classes together, they can, you know, support themselves that way as well. And it gives them a great way to make friends in a very large campus that are interested in the same things that they are interested in.
And what I like about WISE is that we're developing women leaders in science. I am so grateful for WISE because they're helping with EYH, they're helping with GRITS, they're doing video conferences that get beamed across Tennessee on different topics on women in science. Mm-hmm. So WISE is, I couldn't do anything that we do without WISE.
And EYH, which brings middle school girls to campus, you mentioned is going to be in October. Is it too early to talk about what you have lined up for that yet, or are you still in the process of working out the itinerary?
Our date is October 31st. Mm-hmm. We are in the process of lining up our workshop leaders now. Our registration should be online the beginning of August for girls to sign up. Mm-hmm. And we also do this. We do this for 300 middle school girls, and about 60 or 75 high school girls. And Casey's working on the high school girl agenda.
And they get to do real cool experiments.
Yes, they do, including climb over bridges that you make and fall into chocolate pudding.
How about the cosmetic?
Casey can tell you about that since she's...
Yeah, you do the cosmetic experiment in UIH too?
Well, part of the Ooze, Goos, and Slime workshop, we also had Glitter Girls, which was the cosmetics chemistry side of chemistry, where we made face paint and lip gloss and
bath fizzies.
And we showed them the science behind these things that we're making that they use for their cosmetics, as well as talk about their makeups and who makes those and what companies they work for and how, the things that you use cosmetics-wise has a whole bunch of chemistry involved in it, and it's really interesting and really fun to make.
And EYH makeup is never tested on animals.
That's right. That's right. And hopefully Dr. Massengill in biology will come back and do her veterinary medicine workshop, and she usually brings one of her puppy dogs to come in.
That's another thing, bringing speakers to campus to talk to these girls. The importance of bringing women role models who have made it in science in some form, either in the laboratory or in business. Talk about the importance of that.
Oh, that's very important. And again, thank you, WISE, because in the past couple of years, I would get the grant money. We thank the Distinguished Lecture Committee here on campus for providing us with grant money to bring these speakers for WISE women here on campus, and other women, of course, but we love our WISE women. And the WISE women have been taken over, and they've just run the whole show. They find her the room on campus. They take her on tours of campus and all other kinds of things. And Casey, I'll let you talk about that. But they've been doing wonderful.
Yes, WISE has a Living and Learning Center here on campus. The Monahan Hall is the WISE Living and Learning Center. And all of the women speakers that we bring to campus get to stay in the WISE Women Living and Learning Center. So they get to stay in the dorm where the girls are staying. We have oftentimes had late night pizza parties with the girls, just have fun things before their talk that they give to us. And several of the WISE volunteers will take the women, like she said, and show them a tour of campus, and even take them to their labs or the classes that they have, just to kind of show them what their life is like on the campus, and get to also talk with and discuss while they're giving these tours with the women any questions that they have, any concerns. And a recent speaker that we had, Dr. Amber Hinkle, I got to sit down and talk with her, and for a good 2 hours, the majority of our conversation was just about life in general. What it's like to raise a family and, still be going to school to get a PhD, or working as a scientist in a large corporation, and then coming home to your children and your husband. So it's a lot of personal side to it, and then also a lot of business that we get to be with these role models and really understand what it's like to have their life.
And the speakers have talked about leadership, women leaders in industry, industrial jobs, all kinds of things. I can't think of the history of women in science we've had.
And let me mention this one calendar item, although it's a bit far away with only about a minute left. Dick Zaire, the chair of the chemistry department at Stanford University, this is not exactly Joe's car wash, recognized for bringing family-friendly practices to his department and campus. International STEM educator and member of the committee who wrote the document Rising Above the Gathering Storm will be coming to MTSU. That's December 1st and 2nd.
Exactly right. And we are excited about his visit.
Dr. Judith Iriarty-Gross and Casey DeShields, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Join us again at the same time next Sunday. Catch the podcast at mtsunews.com. And don't forget, we're also available on iTunes.